Good morning. And yes, happy Mother's Day to all of the women in our lives, those who are mothers by birth, those who are spiritual mothers and grandmothers in our lives. We just give thanks to God for you, for all of you, and the ways in which you love us and bless us, provide for us. God's blessing on you all, on you all. Well, as we come to the end of the book of Hosea, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we give you thanks for your compassion, for your great mercy and love for us, that even when we do wrong, that even when our love for you grows cold, that even in our following and obeying you is very lacking, that because you love us so much, you won't let us just wander away. You don't treat us in pure anger and just write us off, oh God, and forget about us. But you come for us, Lord. And you love us. And you restore us. You get our attention, Lord, absolutely. And we know that the reality of creation is that wrongs must be righted, oh God. We know that in our own lives, that when injustice is done against us, Lord, that it is not good to just ignore injustice, that it must be made right. And so, Father, we thank you that in your love for us, you discipline us so that we would return to your loving embrace. And we thank you ultimately, Father, that Jesus took on that discipline that we all deserve. That all who believe in you would be restored as children of God. Father, help us to know you in your truth. Help us to know you in your love and in your power this morning. Awaken our hearts, O God, to the call of Jesus on each of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, please, to the book of Hosea, chapter 14. Hosea, chapter 14. Last week, we looked at verses 1 through 3. And this morning, we'll look at the rest of the chapter, 4 through 9. But I'm going to put it in context. I'm going to read 1 through 3 also, so we get it in context here. And then briefly allude to what 1 through 3 is and how it fits into the rest of the chapter here. We've been hearing from the Lord of his great unfailing, never stopping, never ceasing, never changing, never weakening love for us. No matter what. Even when we do wrong, even when we forget him, even when we love the things of this world more than we love our Creator, that God does not cast us out. He loves us and he comes after us. That's the love he has. He comes to us, shows us his great love, and rescues us. He is merciful to us. He is compassionate to us. God's word reads, Hosea chapter 14, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Accept what is good, and we will pay with bowls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us, We will not ride on horses, and we will not, and we will say no more, our God, to the works of our hands. In you, the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive, and his fragrance like Lebanon. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I'm like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. This is God's word. In this we see, no matter what we're doing, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. God is merciful and compassionate to us, even when we do wrong. Just to review quickly, verses 1-3, we looked at last week, but it's God calling us to repentance. He has spoken of all of the ways in which we have rebelled against him, which we have transgressed. And a lot of it was that God's people, like us, I think in so many ways, as we've talked about, that they looked at all their blessings. They looked at all their success and their financial prosperity and the safety of their nation and how everything was really going well compared to most other places in the world. And they said, look what we have done. Man, we are pretty awesome, aren't we? And they didn't deny that God existed. They kind of thought that they were special and that's why God was blessing them. Then they also thought that it was because of how good they were and the result of their own goodness and work and all their effort. Then they also started to look at other ways to continue the blessing, and so they looked at false gods and started to worship other pagan gods in order to get what they thought was more prosperity. And so God said, wow, look, it's not that he's jealous in a way that we get jealous at all. Not that he's being, you know, egotistical. He's saying, look, if you don't fully acknowledge and live with the reality, with the truth that all good things come from God, it hurts you, God says to his people. It's harmful for you to believe that it's your own strength that does this, that it's your own hand and that all good gifts don't come from God. And so God brings forth all these things to waken us up, to waken up his people, all these catastrophes and all this judgment. He takes away their blessings. He takes away their prosperity. The nation goes, throughout the preaching of Hosea, it goes from a very prosperous nation to a really troubled nation. They're in famine and financial crisis, and they have enemies that are coming to attack them very soon, and God's warning them all of this because people have turned away from God and worshiping him and think that they are so strong. So in verses 1-3, God says, look, now that I've told you how you have turned your back on me and it's hurting you, come back to me. I mean, how easy would it be for God to say, that's it, I've given you 1,000 chances. It's over. Go your own way. I'm going to make a new people. Forget about it. I'm done with you. I'm just sick and tired. It's too much. God doesn't do that. He says, come back. I'm here. I want to restore you. I want to heal you. I want to bless you. I want to take care of you. Come back to me. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Return to the Lord. Well, in the first part of our passage this morning, then, we're looking at verses 4 through 8, the real body, the majority of our passage this morning, we see God's promise to restore his people, to restore those who hear the call to repent and repent. Remember, repent is to turn, right? I'm heading this way, which is a way that is against God, that ignores God, and God says, repent of living this way. Turn and live a different way. And the way to live is to trust in God wholly, to believe in God, to acknowledge him as the Lord wholly, to follow in the ways that God has called us. And he says, for those who repent and turn back to me, he promises to restore them. Now, a comment here on repenting. Okay. It's easy for us, I think, because we're such doing people. We think about what we do and what we need to do and how what we do has consequences and impacts and changes things. And there's so much truth to that, obviously, right? If I do my homework, I'll get good grades. Right? If I do all the tasks on my to-do list, then I will have accomplished the things that are necessary in my life. So there definitely is, and that's the way life works. And so it can be easy for us to fall into this thought process that if I do enough right things that God says to do, then he'll love me, or then I'll go to heaven, or then I'll be in good standing with God. But the scriptures proclaim throughout that there is no way that we are able to do enough good that we are holy as God is holy. There is no way. That's the nature of sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans says that no one does good, not one. All have turned away from God. So the call here to repent of doing what God says not to do and to turn back to him doesn't mean then that we have to live perfect lives, because we can't. So the temptation might be to say, then why even bother? Well, it's not that we are trying to live perfect lives. We must acknowledge, this is why God shows us our sin, acknowledge that I can't live a perfect life. I need a savior. I need one who will live the perfect life and will who take his perfection and apply it to me, not because I earned it or deserve it, but because God loves me. And that's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus has done by dying on the cross in our place. And so we turn away from living against God and we turn towards God and say, I want you, O Lord God, because you are my creator. You are the God. You are Lord of all. And to come to you, I must come by believing in Jesus, not by doing, but by believing in Jesus. And in doing so, God promises to restore us. And he has this beautiful imagery right here in these verses 4 through 8. And I think it's a perfect time of year, the perfect season for us to experience this passage as we are into the spring where everything's blooming and coming back to life here. Just this beautiful imagery here. First, he says it plainly, verse 4, I will heal their apostasy. So I will heal their turning away from me, their evil ways, their ignoring of me, their worshiping false things, whether it's the false gods or the work of their own hand. I'll heal that when you turn to me and return to me. I will love them freely, God says. This is God speaking to those of us who return to the Lord, return to God, who turn towards him. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. So imagine a land that is so dry and so parched, where there's no water, there's no green grass, nothing is growing. It's just devastation, right? We have a sense of how that's just wrong. That's a painful environment. That's one that leads to death, right? So we call like Death Valley, right? And the idea of a desert, right? It's just one that for humans is a picture of death where we can't survive. But God says, part of my restoring you, part of my healing you when you turn to me is I'll be like dew on the grass in the morning, right? I know if you're like walking through the grass, you know, to your car or something in the morning in your sneakers, or maybe you got dress shoes on going to work, you're like, oh, look at that, getting them all wet and kind of messy. But it's this dew that brings life, that waters that which is parched and desolate. It's the picture of God to his people who turn to him. Also, verse 5, I shall blossom like the lily. God's people, he shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. So we had this idea of God as he's going to restore and bless us, his people, again as we turn to him. There will be this like nature growing, coming forth, sprouting and blossoming, right? And so we see the trees now and the buds popping on the trees. And we've talked about this recently too, right? That the color green on those little buds, it's so much lighter and more joyful and cheerful than it's going to be as the summer comes to an end, when it takes on a darker, deeper green and the edges start to wilt as they begin to turn into the fall leaves, right? But right now it's this vibrant color of green that we see all around us. The little shoots of the tree starting to pop up. We had, unfortunately, a tree it was a willow tree that dear family gave me a number of years ago, and it died last year. So sad, and I had to cut it down, and it's just dead as a doornail. But then there are these little shoots that are coming up from the bottom of it. These little bits that there's still life there, even where it looked like there was just complete death. No. God is bringing up some life with these little shoots in the trees here. Blossom like the lilies. All the flowers right now, right, are starting to pop. The flowering trees, they've already sort of started to go away now. And then we had the forsythias and the lilacs, right? You have any lilacs in your yard? You ever walk by some lilacs, right? It's like you just start sneezing immediately when you get within like 20 feet of the lilacs. But you want more. It's like, that's okay, I'll sneeze. I want more of this because they look so beautiful and it smells so wonderful. God's comparing his blessing for us, his healing and restoring us to that fragrance that just lifts us up. I was on the sideline early yesterday morning of one of our children's football games, right? And it was at Stoddard Park, which is near the lake, right? And just, it's like 8 in the morning, and it's just sunny and beautiful. And the smell of the air, right, was just striking. People all around were just commenting on it. You know, not non-Christians that were just commenting on it, right? And God's using that imagery there of that smell, that scent, that picture, that greenness, that color of the flowers and the tulips and the lilacs and everything popping up everywhere as saying, look, because of you're not following me, because of you're not loving me, it was like a desert. But when you turn to me, I'm going to change all that. And it's going to be just flowing with life. It's one of the wonderful things about living in New England. It's just wonderful. We get to experience the seasons. But I know it's hard. And it's, you know, it's part of our right as New Englanders to complain about the weather. By golly, it's okay, I think. I know we say, you know, we shouldn't complain. Well, we're gonna, all right? And so winters are hard. Right, and spring is about 37 seconds long, and then it's gone, right? But it's okay. Part of that winter, we see the picture of, and it's not a desert, but it's desolate. But then spring comes. That's this picture that God is using here, right? Verse 6, His, the person who returns to God, his shoots, shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive, and his fragrance like the Lebanon. That picture of aromas there, right? So I love the lilac. There's one that I've learned, and all of this comes from Cynthia. Again, before I was married, I never knew that trees had flowers. I'm not exaggerating. I'm just so clueless. I never knew. But now we have around one of our trees in the parsonage and a few other places, lily of the valley. You guys, right? Do you know lily of the valley? It's this little teeny plant about this high. It's got a couple of small green leaves and then a little stem, and it kind of curls over as if it's going to fall down, and a couple of little teeny, like popcorn kernel, unpopped popcorn kernel size white flowers on it, and they kind of hang there a little bit, right? The aroma, it's like times 1,000 their size. And it is one of the most beautiful aromas anywhere. This fragrance just fills the entire yard as you walk by them. And we actually have in the yard the lilac bush and lily of the valley. They're about 20 feet apart or so. And so, you know, there's like this walking through them. There's this amazing competing transitioning fragrance that happens, right? And God's comparing his blessing to this. This idea of you just walking by and all of a sudden you're just struck by something beautiful. That's God's blessing. That's how God wants to restore us and bless us. Verse 7, they shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. Picture a scorching hot day, right? Middle of August. And you're out in somewhere in your yard, or you're out on a big concrete pavement where there's no shade, okay? And it's just pounding down upon you, right? Say you're gonna park your car, and you're just in a big concrete parking lot, and there's no shade, right? And you know no matter where you park, when you come back out, it's gonna be just scorching hot. You can't even touch the seatbelts, right? Because they're just so burning hot. But then you see over on the side, there are some parking spots that have this trees leaning over them, and they're creating this shadow, this shade. And you know, if you park in that shade, everything's different. If you find a spot in your yard to sit where the shade is gonna be, everything's different. If you do have the opportunity and you have children and you're blessed to, you know, go to the sidelines of soccer, lacrosse, baseball, football, whatever the sport is, right? You'll always see if there's a little bit of shade, there'll be, you know, 5,000 people sitting in that little square section. The rest of the area is completely open, right? Because the shade is, oh, there's such a comfort in the middle of the heat. That's what God is saying. In the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your physical struggles, your mental struggles, your relational struggles, whatever caused them, whether they're your own fault or somebody else's, God is saying, I'll be like the shade on a blistering hot day, covering over you when you come back to me. They shall flourish like grain, a harvest, a crops that just go on and on and on forever and just blossom and bear such fruit. That is what God will be like to us. Blossom of the vines, right? Morning glories. Think of morning glory, where they're vining up and they grow almost. You can watch them grow. They grow so fast. And then those flowers, every morning a new flower pops open and unfurls throughout the day. Blossoming vines here. And the fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. And in the scriptures, wine, excessive wine is always bad. But there's a little bit of wine which is part of rejoicing and part of celebrating and part of feasting there, right? So this is this picture of the harvest, the bountiful provision of God. It's all these beautiful pictures that God gives us of what he will do for us, his promise to us when we return to him. He said all these hard things before in this book to wake us up to our need for him. Because when we don't turn to him, or when we think this is the work of our own hands, we've done this ourselves, we miss all of this. We walk by the lilac and the lily of the valley and go, what's that stench? We walk by the beautiful flowers and the greening of the leaves, and we say, oh, what a mess this is. Look at all this pollen on my car, and look at all this stuff that fell on the lawn, all the work I have to do. We miss all of God's goodness for us. We don't experience it when we don't turn to the Lord and acknowledge him. Now in verse 8, God is going to finish this section of his promise to restore us by just calling it out as it is. O Ephraim, which is another word for Israel, the northern 10 tribes, who he's speaking to through Hosea here. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? He's saying, look, you're worshiping things that are not me. Whether it's physical false idols in their case, or whether it's the work of our own hands, or thinking we're so great and we don't need God because we're so powerful and strong. God says, what does that have to do with me? I'm not there. When you look to anything but me, I'm not there. Remember, Israel didn't say we don't believe in God. They didn't say we hate you, God. We didn't say we don't care about you, God. They thought they were with God. They would use that, their language would say, yeah, we're God's chosen people. We're special before God. But their lives didn't display the character and nature of God because they weren't actually following God. God says, I don't have anything to do with it. That's not who I am. Just by putting the name Christian on us, just by using words like whatever, you know, we all have different words, evangelical, Christian, whatever our words, churchgoer, Baptist, Catholic, those words have meaning, yes, but the words in and of themselves don't say what our hearts are. God says, I don't have anything to do with the externals. I'm in the heart. It is I who answer and look after you. I mean, there it is. It is God who answers our prayers. It is God who looks after us. The God who sent Jesus Christ for us, to die on the cross for us, to pay for our sins, that we could be reconciled, restored, brought back to God. It's him. He is the one who loves us and cares for us and takes care of us. It's his compassion and mercy that calls us to return to him, knowing that that's what we need more than anything in the world. Whatever we think we need in all of our brilliance, God says, you need me most of all. The final section then of this passage and chapter and of the entire book, in verse 9, there's an encouragement from God for us to choose wisely. It says, whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them, for the ways of the Lord are right. There's a call for us to be discerning and wise. God has laid out before us, here's the truth of life. All people whom God has created, all people turn from God. We all, in ways small and large, seek our own way first instead of God's way. Think that our ways are better than God's ways. We all think that all the good things in our lives don't come from God. They come from us. or that God will give us whatever we want regardless of our heart's attitude towards him. And the reality is that that is the way of pain and death for us. Because God makes us in his love. And so he says here, be wise, be discerning, think about what I'm saying. You have two choices in life. It's really all we have. We can choose to live against God's ways or ignoring God's ways or our own ways, and that's all one category. Or we can choose to come to God humbly and say, Lord, I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We can try to do things our ways, or we can look to what Jesus has done on the cross and trust him for it. God has laid out the two ways of life and says, be wise, be discerning, return to the Lord, for he and his ways are right. Let us, O dear people of God, return to the Lord Jesus today. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have made us and loved us. And when we ignore you, take you for granted, openly don't believe you, or just don't care, that you don't just cast us away. No. That you come to us, you call us, you show us your love and mercy, you show us the danger of the choices we've made, and you create the path to life by Jesus dying on the cross for us. Oh God, help us to trust in you, Lord Jesus, for life today. Help us to turn away from our own way and turn towards you and trust in Jesus Christ for restoration and newness of life, O Lord God. I ask, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would awaken us. You would quicken our hearts towards you. You would open our eyes and ears that we would see and hear your compassion for us in Jesus, and we would respond to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.